Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. If it had not been for the Lord on this glorious and victorious morning, it is Sunday, December 30th, 2018, where would we be? Well, we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and that the righteous run into it, and they are saved. And I have read for your soul's inspiration and your listening consideration the 118th division of Psalms, verses 1 through 5. God is a God of mercy, of loving kindness, of restoration, of elevation, of proclamation, of dedication, of protection, of prosperity, of healing. He is a God that masters the universe of man. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his greatness, omnipotence, that means his all-powerfulness, his omniscience, his all-knowing capacity, and his omnipresent ability to be at every given place at every and any given time. If only men would raise the name of the Lord. Just think about it. We give recognition to people that we know when they do kindly deeds. We recognize them. We extol them. We put them on a pedestal. We acknowledge them. But if we took the same energy that we utilize for natural man and give that same momentum to God, all the miracles of divine healing that would take place, all those dynamic breakthroughs that would occur, all the transformation of miracles that would take manifestation if we focused our energies on God, if we focused our praise upon God, if we focused our elevation upon God. Oh, what a transformed society, a transformed community that we would witness. God is not slack concerning his promises. And he said that all power, Jesus proclaimed this, know the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All power in the heavens and in the earth are unto him, given to him. So when we call on the name of Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of God, God's only begotten Son, our High Priest, our Savior, God hears us that even the more and responds to us. But we need to give raise to the praise this morning. We're talking about the projection and perspectives that we have for the new year. Well, the scripture tells us, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. We shouldn't capitalize upon the inference of time, the measurement, the standardized persistency of measurement of time. We should focus upon the existence of God, to experience God on the accelerated supernatural level where we see the miracles. God is not slack in certainly performing the miracles. We're slack in anticipating the miracles. We have become so leveraged into the worldly system and exchange of things, we've gotten out of the placement and out of the capacity of God. We got into this new age trend. The Lord does not change. He changes the situation and the circumstance, but he himself does not change. He is a God that watches over his people, and he watches over the word that he gives his people to perform it. So God is not slack concerning working the miracles. We become slack in anticipating the miracles, and we're going through every venue. This word is for someone this morning. whether you're in the continental U.S. of A, whether you're in South America, Canada, Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, and maybe even Antarctica. This word is for you. We have set limitations upon God. Then we say, oh, God, give me a miracle right now. Let me see, receive thy greatness right now. No. Jesus told us. He gave us all the instructional information that we needed according to your faith, your confidence, your anticipation, your belief, your steadfastness, be it unto you. Well, oh, Lord, just look at me. I've been praying the same prayer. No. God is not slack concerning his promises and his ability to manifest those things that you ask for, but it goes to the placement as where is your faith, where is your concentration, where is your anticipation. You can't speak life and turn around and speak death. You can't turn around and speak joy and great tidings and all of a sudden speak dismal thoughts and dark reflections. You're either going to trust God, know God, believe God, anticipate the best, walk in faith and not by sight, continue on anticipating every day, this is my day of breakthrough, this is my day of breakthrough. Or else you're going to turn around and you're going to constantly just waver and stagger and have the complexity of saying, woe is me, is God angry with me? It's not that God is angry with you, it's that you have gotten out of the way and the system to receive that which God has promised you. And I'm telling you, I'm looking for some wonderful things, some great things to happen for me. And I know you're on that level too for this year because we're walking in faith and not by sight. It's a challenge. To walk by faith is a challenge. Are you kidding me? To be realistic. One thing about being realistic is that we're looking at the capacity that sometimes we are challenged. We are challenged to be motivated to fear for failure, that things are not going to work right, because it's the edge, the error of human nature that does that to us. But when we get weak, God has to become our strength. He has to become our focus. We have to refocus our attention back on him. And he understands. He said, my grace is sufficient unto you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So God understands, but we've got to reach up and reach out because we're talking about getting souls right, meet for the master's use, recruiting men and women. It's not so much the words that we say. It's the life, the evidences of God's blessings prevalent in our life. People should want to look at us and want what we have, not want to say, oh, let me stay away from her. She's also needing. She's always looking. And always sad and broke down. No one wants to serve in the capacity of their existence with a person that's always bogged down, broke down, sad and dismal. No. People are generated toward those who are joyful, who are plenteous, who are prospering in a time where they say the prosperity is a limited expectation. But God supersedes the natural and performs the supernatural to those of us who walk by faith and not by sight. This is how we gain people to the kingdom of God. You may listen to the teachings, the elementation of the words. Well, that's wonderful. This is a gift that God mastered and gave some of us to be able to speak, to orate. That's wonderful. To God be the glory. It's not my glory. It's not anyone's glory. It's God's glory. It's his gift. And we use it as instruments of righteousness to get people into the right frame of doing, the right way of thinking, the right way of living, so that the power of God supersedes and does the impossible, that you even meet beyond your meager expectations and anticipations, that God outshines and outshows everything that you waited for. And even those around you have waited for. This is where we are ascending to in this natural existence. We got to do better. We've got to do much better than we did the previous year. This year had a lot of challenges, a lot of choices, a lot of confrontations that many of us, we had to fight it through. Well, I truly know that God is saying this year is going to be a year of greatness, a year of exaltation, the manifestation of the tears that we cried, a manifestation as a result of the times that we lacked and we were limited. God heard us. He saw us. He felt what we felt. And now here comes the time of elevation. Can we handle it? I say yes. Because let me tell you something. When God humbles you and lets you break down to the LCD, we refer to it as the least common denominator. I know that's a mathematician term, but nevertheless, I'm going to use it as a reflective spiritual term. And then you realize, the only hope I got to get out of this is the hand of God that will lead me out of this. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will minister to me and give me words of wisdom and instruction on how to get through this. You realize those things. And we realize that no educational establishment or institution nor degrees that we achieve in this natural life can do it. It takes the hand of God and the anointing of God to break the yoke. So we've got a new attitude to increase our latitude. That's right, and this is what God is doing for us right here and now, so that when we go into 2019, we're going to go in with a boom, and we're going to continue on with the same propensity, the same velocity. We pumped up the volume to receive the more greatness, the more miracles, the more dynamic breakthroughs, the greater level of prosperity that translates into wealth and the wealth into riches, because we got to fund the kingdom of God. We've got to be able to administer to the needs, not only of our own natural capacity, but to those who are depending on support from others. So we got to be that significant other to do this. I'm ready. What about you? Are you ready? Amen. Thank God for the wonders of his presence. And we're just blessing God today as we're preparing that plethora, that platform for great things ahead. And I'm excited about the year of 2019 because, again, this is a year that God is really going to orchestrate amazing things to those of us who have stood steadfast and waited and have received the greatness of his word within our being that stabilized us, that gave us the ability to withstand. And I'm just excited, and we're certainly going to come to you on New Year's Day with that New Year's message, amen, from manna from on high. Let us go to the wonders of the word of God. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. We examined the prayer of Jabez last week, and what a blessing. What a blessing that prayer was, because that shows us that God does the impossible to those who trust him. And let me tell you something, that was an awesome result. That's right, that God orchestrated on behalf of this amazing young man. Because you know why? He trusted God. Despite where he was, he knew what God could do, and he entrusted that God was going to do it. So he asked him, instead of being bitter, complaining, and causing row and rebellion within his family, he took it to the Lord. Sometimes you don't need to talk so much. Sometimes you just need to get into that quiet corner, that stable place, and talk to God like Jabez did. And look, and lo and behold, what God did in his life. That's right, what God did. And I tell you, the very people who may have been called toward him had to turn around and to receive his substance. Isn't that a wonderful thing about God? Let's go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, very briefly, as we're taking on a new attitude for an improved latitude. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, that means so many testimonies, so many revelances that people have attested to verbally, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is Apostle Paul saying? Saying, seeing all of those who have went on before us, who have attested to the power of God, that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think, and that they lived through certain experiences, they knew that it was the hand of God that brought them up and brought them out. And he was glorified because of their deliverance, and he miraculously transformed the quality of their life and transformed the quality of their substance and their health and their families. And he did all these things to prove that he is God and that he is with his people. That we've seen all of these things. We've experienced the words of these wonderful men and women. He said, let us allow ourselves to get rid of things that we don't need in our lives. So we're talking about going into 2019, progressive and prosperous, and having all of the things that God desires us for us to have. And Jesus told us, I came that ye may have life, and that more abundantly. I'm going to have the abundant life upon this earth. He doesn't just want to take us out of here and translate us to heaven. He wants us to be living, breathing, walking, talking, testimonies of his power around this earth. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, and that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to outsource, outshine, and to have the very best of his presence within us so that others are drawn to us. He says that we got to do some things to receive the greatness of what others received that went before us. We got to get rid of some things within our being. You know, there's a song in the worldly translation that says, if you live in a glass house, don't throw no stones. If you live in a glass house, don't throw no stones. And as the song progresses on, he starts talking about the transgressions of his neighbor, and he brings the transgressions back to his front door, and he starts talking about the things that people were doing around him. And it gives referendum to the spiritual sense of this. Sometimes we're so focused on the failures and the shortcomings and the wrongdoings of others, we forget ourselves, that we in times past, and even so in times present, because Jesus told us, a man saith he having no sin, he is a liar. And we don't want to be liars. We want to be truthful. We forget to look at ourselves, and we focus on the deeds of others. But sometimes we need to take that same magnifying glass that we circumspectly so examine and investigate others and turn it on ourselves, look in that mirror and face ourselves and say, as my prayer life where it needs to be? Do I criticize instead of give praise? Do I fault find instead of finding reasons to compliment? Is there any jealousy within me? And reflect back on our behaviors and our actions, because we are the only hindrance that we have in this present world. We can't blame it on anybody else. People say, oh, that person struck a nerve. Apparently that nerve was exposed, and that's the reason why it got struck. We need to examine ourselves. We need to come to that placement that, you know, we're going to operate in faith, and God's going to give us the very best he has in this time and in this year, and we're going to receive the greatest of his presence, his miraculous divine interventions, and we're going to be the testimonies that which so many people are desperate to see. We got to get rid of some stuff. We got to get rid of unforgiveness, lose some weight. This is the message today. It's time to lose some weight. I know many of you are saying, well, look, it's the holidays. I've overeaten. I've overdone. And so have I. Amen. Let's be realistic about this. We're not talking about the physical anomaly of the weight factor, because we know we got to do some upkeeps coming up in this year, because we have put on a few pounds. But to God be the glory, we remain in perfect health. And we thank God that's a blessing. That's right. We have no serious diseases, conditions, nor illnesses or disabilities and anomalies that will not allow us to function to maximal capacity. Thank God for that. But we still got to go on that eating regimen to shed the pounds. But in the spiritual sense of thinking and doing, we need to get rid of some things that we've been holding on to. And let's be realistic with this. All of us have been there. We're living in these glass houses. So don't throw stones at other people. Let's look at ourselves. Have you truly forgiven? Well, you know something, if we've truly forgiven someone, we're not so quick to bring back the circumstance or the situation that happened that caused the breakup, that caused the imbalancing of the harmonies. When we're quick to remember like that, guess what? We have not fully forgiven. And that means we're holding on to some negative energy. We need to lose weight. Have you truly allowed the love of God to overshadow you and myself? Well, we can say, you know what? That's all right. God is good. And I no longer hold that against that person. That thought will diminish. We need to lose some weight because many of us are holding on to unforgiveness and saying, oh, I got the love of God within me. I'm praying and waiting on God. You can pray all you want to. Until you lose weight, you're not going to be able to get into that size 9 apparel when you're a size 16. You got to lose some weight. You got to get rid of it. Throw away unforgiveness. Because if we don't forgive, our Heavenly Father won't forgive us. And I know it's a process with us as humans. God knows it's a process. It's a step-by-step process that means we have to do some inner cleaning and some external exchange. It's a process. But we have to progress in that way, and the power of God's Holy Spirit will help us to do the rest. The Holy Spirit is not only a leader and guider, it's a helper, because some things are beyond our grasp, our capacity to translate or to change. So we need to lose some weight, get rid of unforgiveness, hatred. I know many times in our past, we've experienced some very unpleasant circumstances, whether it's from friends, family members, maybe coworkers, or people we may not have really even knew, maybe somewhat familiars. And they said or done things to us or a thing to us, and we felt a certain level of bleakness because we felt that the circumstance of the situation attacked us as a person and made us feel in a way some degree of inadequacy or incapacity to overstep or to overcome, and it diminished our character. And we derived a sense of hatred, of despising that person because of that circumstance or situation. We got to lose weight. We got to get rid of hatred. And we live in glass houses. How can a person hate and they say, no, let me tell you something. The Spirit of God does not always strive with man because that is also flesh. We got the Holy Spirit within us, but we're still flesh, and we experience the things of the flesh. Emotion, hatred is an emotion of despising or desponding against an individual. And we have to lose weight. We have to cast aside the very elementation of hatred or total dislike or despondency. Because why? That will slow you down. That will keep you puffed up. And you know what? That size 16 will never get into that size 9 apparel. You got to lose weight. Get rid of hatred. And know the scripture that will help us to do that. The what? Love covers a multitude. And fervent charity covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of faults. And when we focus on the love of Jesus Christ that he had for us, and that he constantly shows us, it is nothing hard for us to allow the Holy Spirit to generate love within us and for us to expound that love to people that gave us reason to hate. And I remember a worldly song that was generated back in the 70s during the era of much imbalance, the Vietnamese War, racism, overcoming and overstepping Jim Crow, and a very familiar artist, new worldwide, known as Marvin Gaye. And the song that said, what's going on? Again, a secular song has a strong spiritual meaning. He says, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. And that's the truth. Fervent charity covers a multitude.